ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter number 5 this evening. And before we go into our text, I want to set up the story. I'm going to give you a story to give you an idea of kind of where we're going. 3 weeks ago, I started the process of what is the purpose of going to church? And I believe that God has revealed to me there's three areas, and I'm sure there's probably more, but God has given me three areas of why I believe that we should go to church. Anybody remember the first week that we dealt with? First week, anybody? You look at your notes, you're good. I got all night. Pastor said it, singing. We come to church and we lift our voices to our Lord, amen? Last week we dealt with prayer, exactly. I believe when the church has church meetings, when it comes time for church prayers, we need to be involved in those things. And let me say this, just because you're involved in those things doesn't mean you're better than anybody else that doesn't show up. Okay? That's not the case, and I don't want to give people the attitude that's how we think, and that's not the case. Tonight we're going to deal with the purpose of coming to church is to adore Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to come to church to adore Jesus Christ. And there are many illustrations for us to learn from tonight, and God's directed me into this area. So to go back 24 years ago in my life is when my wife and I had our wedding vows this coming January. I cannot believe it, to be honest with you. We're celebrating 25 years, and that seems hard to believe. I can remember when Mom and Dad celebrated their 25th wedding anniversary. When it came time for their 25th anniversary, they said, hey, we got six kids. You should be able to send us to Hawaii. And I'm thinking, well, Mom and Dad are rich now and loaded with money. And so I'm thinking it would be a good idea if they send me to Hawaii. And they can bring my wife. You know, that would be good too. But anyways, 25 years, and what a ride it has been. Pastor kind of mentioned that this morning. He said some things this morning that I'm kind of dealing with tonight. But I can remember the wait. There is a waiting period for the groom to see his bride. And I tell you what, that's a nerve-wracking time. But I can remember the day that my wife and I got married. Crazy people, we got married in January, and there was a blizzard on the ground, and I remember that day. It was hard for my family to get up to Sioux City, because that's where we got married, and we got married in Sioux City in the wintertime, so you wouldn't smell it, and that's why we call it Sewer City, so we did you guys a favor, but I remember that day, and I just remember the anticipation. I remember the nerves, but I remember one of the most extraordinary things that I saw in my eye when I walked out of that, when I walked into the church area, and that was my bride. The beautiful look that she had about her, the glow that was there that day, and I tell you what an exciting event in my life. And I thank God for that day, and something that I'll never forget, and she reminds me quite often, so good for her on that. But there is a lot of things that go into preparation for a wedding ceremony. Yesterday, I gave an illustration about a piece of ground that is nothing but dirt, and you want to make that piece of ground to be plenty with grass, and there's a lot of work that goes into there, a lot of cultivation that's got to take place in order for that grass to come forth. And you know what? That's no different than a wedding. There's a lot of things that take place behind the scenes that a groom really doesn't know anything about, to be honest with you. The woman does a majority of the work. And us guys, we sit there and think, yeah, it's all about us. And newsflash, you guys, it's not about us when we get up there that day. Matter of fact, it becomes all about the woman. And one of the things that I understand about the woman, everybody's just waiting in anticipation for that bride to walk through those doors, because they have yet to see her and how she looks, and they're just waiting, they're anticipating. And then one of the things that I notice as she walks through the door, what do we normally do when we see the bride come through the door? We stand in respect for her, and we're going to be dealing with respect tonight for our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to be dealing with some other things as well. And so what a great picture that we have tonight. And then we see as they come through the door, we see her beauty, we're in awe of her, and We see the respect that is given to her. We all stand, we rise, and we watch her as she comes down the aisle. And then there's another thing that takes place, and that is the father giving his daughter away. And that's a beautiful picture as well. And I'm going to be honest with you. My daughter's 15 years of age now, and she's a beautiful young woman. And I get choked up just thinking about the day that she's going to get married. I really do. I mean, I can't believe there's going to be a jerk in her life that wants to marry her. And he is a jerk, and I don't even know him yet. But I feel sorry for him, because the day that he comes to my door, I'm going to make sure I'll be cleaning my shotguns and welcome him into the family that way. But honestly, folks, I pray that she gets a guy who is a God-fearing man and who knows the Lord as his personal Savior. That's my biggest prayer for her. And if he's not, then it's not going to happen. She knows those things. But we see those things take place. Well, what is the purpose of going to church? We're going to wrap this up tonight, and that is to adore the groom. And that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as we had some fun just a little bit ago, now let's get down to business. Let's be serious about what's taking place. And so let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll dive into Scripture here. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for this time that we are able to meet with you. Lord, I pray tonight that you would show us some things in your word that we need to see tonight to make us better off in our life. Lord, I pray tonight that you would just begin to work in our hearts. Lord, again, we pray for Bobby and Mary, Lord, with the situation with her mother. Lord, I heard Bobby's cry a few weeks ago. And Lord, we hate to see our parents go, but at the same time, we hate to see him suffer. And so, Lord, tonight, I pray that she would not suffer and that you would just take her into your presence tonight. And Lord, we can rejoice knowing that she is with you. Lord, I pray that you take her fears away. I pray that you give the family peace as well. Lord, and help us to be a help and to be an encouragement to these two ladies. And we ask in your name, amen. Let's go ahead and begin reading in verse number 19. We actually used this as our text a few weeks ago. It says, speak in yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to jump down through verse number 21 down to verse number 27. There are some things that are going to take place in your life and my life before we meet the bridegroom. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We need to understand something here. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. I didn't have this in any of my notes tonight, but I got to point this out. Marriage, as you and I know it, is between a man and a woman. Amen? That's how God designed a marriage. I was watching the news the other night, and you might have watched the same news broadcast that I was watching, but there is a woman at the age of 61 years gave birth to a child. She was carrying that child for her son. And I thought, man, what an amazing story. I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe his wife couldn't have kids, and she did them a favor. And before I knew it, they said she did this so that her son and his husband can have a kid. And I just about barfed. I tell you what, I wanted to call up that news station. I actually wanted to drive down there, and I wanted to go there, and I want to say a husband is to love a wife. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Not between man and a man, and a woman and a woman. That is my soapbox for tonight. I got on it. Now I'm going to get off. Amen? So now we're going to go back, and we're going to see some things that take place that is kind of similar with what takes place in wedding ceremonies today. and that is the weight. We got 4 points that we're going to go over with tonight, and that is the weight. One thing that you and I should obviously understand is Jesus, who is our bridegroom, is anxiously awaiting the arrival of the bride. And folks, who is the bride? It is the church. He's waiting for our arrival. And I tell you what, again, I can remember, I can go back and I can remember the nerves that I went through, and I can remember how long it seemed to be for me to get to that particular day. But Jesus is waiting for his bride to come to him. And so before any marriage that takes place, there is much preparation that will take place beforehand. One particular event that I know and you know that had to take place before Christ and the church are to be was the death of who? The death of the bridegroom. And so Jesus' life was given, it was taken, and because of this, now we are able to be a part of the bride of Christ, and thank God for that. And so his death was meant for that day as well. And so because of this, the church is going to be able to meet with the bridegroom. And so through his death, we see a few things that takes place. And one of the things that we see take place is his great love that he has for you and for me. And you know, we say we love people, do we not? We say that we would do anything for anybody if we had the chance to. But if you had the chance to lay down your life for somebody, would you do that very thing? And to be honest with you, I would probably say no. I would say, you know what, I value my life and I enjoy what I'm doing, and you're just going to have to suck it up, buddy, and die. That's, honestly, that's our thought process. But we see here, because of Jesus' great love that he has for his bride, that he has for the church, is he gave up his life for you and for me. And what a tremendous picture that we see tonight, that the bridegroom loves us. Amen? And he shows us and he demonstrates that to us in many different ways throughout every single day, throughout every single week, every single month, and every single year of our life. He's always and constantly showing his love towards us. This was done so that the marriage, his death was done, so that the marriage between the bridegroom and the bride could exist. And so since his resurrection, he has been patiently waiting for the church's arrival. And boy, what a glorious day that is going to be when that event takes place. And you know what? I've been invited. Amen? He gave me an invitation. I have accepted an invitation. I said, you know what, Jesus, I thank you so much for giving me an invitation to the marriage, and I accept. But unfortunately, folks, there's people out there that has had that invitation given to them, and they've rejected that, and they don't want to be a part of the bride of Christ. They don't want to be a part of anything associated with that. And so what a sad day for some people that they won't even be a part of those things. Now, there are going to be some things that are going to take place in the life of a believer and in the life of an individual as well when it comes to a wedding ceremony. Go to 21 of chapter number 5, and it says, submitting yourselves one another in the fear of God. One of the things that we have to realize is we need to be submissive. You know, men, we pull out the card whenever we get into an argument with our wife, and I'm going to be the first one to confess it. Woman, you need to be submissive to me. We might not say woman, but we say those things. And we'll say, you know what your problem is? You're rebellious and you're not submissive to me. And one of the comments that I can remember in my life that it made it so real to me, maybe our wives aren't submissive to us, is because we're not submissive to our Savior. And if they're going to see that we're going to be submissive to him, they'll say, you know what? What he is doing, he's practicing that. He's being the leader of the family, and I'm going to be submissive to him. And so, folks, we need to see that great picture. We need to be submissive to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the bridegroom has a few lessons for the church to learn beforehand, and that is to recognize you and I need to be submissive to him. I have learned when you love someone, you go through great depths of expressing your love to them. Great depths. Some men have the great ability to write poetry. Does any men in here write poetry? I'm one of those. I like to write poetry. Haven't done it in years. Donovan likes to write poetry. And I, you know what? You know what it does to a woman when you write them poetry? It just, I don't know, it makes them weird. I know my wife loves it, but you do these things because you're expressing love towards them. Love is doing things that you don't normally do. Man, we think, okay, because we wake up every single morning, we put on our work boots and we go to work and we provide the bacon and we provide the money for the family, we're showing them that we love them. And you know what? That's true. We're showing them those things, but there's more to that than going to work and providing those things. And we got to show our wives the great depths that we're willing to go to them to show them that we love them. And I have this reminded me often. And my wife's not here tonight. I miss her. She is in Sioux City tonight. She'll be returning home. But she reminds me of these things. Chad, it's not about what you do all the time. It's just about you being there when I need you the most. And I'm thinking, when is that? When do you need me the most? You know what her thought is? When I reject you. I'm thinking to myself, what do you mean by rejecting me? When I stand off, that's when I need you. That's when I need you the most, and I need you to express your love to me. And women have different ways of sharing their emotions to their loved ones. But men, we go through great depths to express our love to them. Jesus went through great depths to express his love to us, and that is his death upon the cross. He died for you. He gave up his kingdom with his heavenly Father, and he gave those things up, expressing his love so that you and I can have eternity with him. Submitting to someone else is saying, his will is your will. That's what submission is. When we recognize that we submit to our Heavenly Father, we're saying, Lord, I'm agreeing with your will, and because it's your will, it is my will. And I tell you what, that is so much better than going against the will of God. So we need to recognize submission is saying his will is our will. Not even giving it a second thought. Two, the second thing that we need to do, we need to love, we love because he has first loved us. Pastor went over this with us in Sunday school this morning. And it is so true, we don't know how to love. And the only reason we do love is because Christ first loved us. He has shown us what love is. And so we need to express our love towards him. Being in church is an expression of love towards the bridegroom. And if it's not, it should be in your life. Coming here on Sunday mornings, Sunday afternoons, and Sunday nights, and Wednesday night is an expression for you and I to say to God how much we love him. And again, during those times, it is time for him to speak to us from his word. We need those times so that our relationship could grow with him. I used an illustration yesterday as I was speaking to the teenagers. I have a plant in my house that is going through death and is being revived at this very minute. I kid you not. And what come to find out with this plant, after it was all said and done, this plant needed light, and it was not getting the light that it needed to have in order to survive. And so we did some research on how much light that it needed. And this particular plant needs 4 hours of light a day, natural light a day, in order to survive. And I begin to think about that. We only give Jesus 4 hours a week. But a plant gets 4 hours a day in order to survive. Coming to church is an expression of showing our love towards him. And I believe that whenever these doors are open, I don't care what event it's for. I don't care if it's for a prayer meeting. I don't care if it's for a regular church service. I don't care if it's for what's coming up here this week, our Faith Annual Missions Conference. I don't care if it's for a revival service. We need to be here because we're expressing our love towards them. And at the same time, when we do those things, we are gathering as a family, we're gathering as a brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're able to fellowship with one another. And so again, we do these things as an outward expression. With love comes what? It comes adoration. Again, the purpose of being in church tonight is to adore the Father, to bring adoration to him. And so you and I need to adore him. Men, do you not adore your wives tonight? You better say it with a hearty amen. Wives, do you adore your husbands? That was a little bit softer. I'll stop there. But we need to adore Jesus Christ. I adore my wife. I adore her. And I don't even know how to begin to express the adoration that I have for her. I don't even have the vocabulary to begin to express those things, but I adore her. I don't worship her. I adore her. I enjoy being in her presence. I love the fact that when she comes home, she's excited to see me, and I'm excited to see her. I adore her. I adore my daughter. I adore the things that she does, the accomplishments that she makes in her life, the goals that she sets, the desires that she has for the Lord. I adore those things about her. And that's how you and I need to be about our Heavenly Father. We need to adore Him. And when you adore somebody, you begin to talk about them. You begin to express your feelings about them towards others. And I've said this years ago, how do you make Jesus Christ famous in your community? How do you make Jesus Christ famous in your workplace? How do you make Jesus Christ in your family? You talk about Him. Why? Because you adore Him. And they need to see the adoration that you and I have for Him. Adore means, there's two definitions. Actually, there's a lot of different definitions. But the ones I picked out tonight here, adore means either to love. And through adoration, you're able to express your love towards Him. And the other term is respect. You and I need to show respect towards our bridegroom. And with that being said, because we're using these verses as well, men, we need to show our wives respect. Amen? They need to see those things. The work world that I'm in, I see many men disrespect their wives. And it's sad. I have heard men call wives names that weren't even their names right in front of me, and I didn't even know them. And I'm thinking to myself, man, if he's willing to talk to a stranger about his wife and disrespect her when she's not even around, I wonder what he does in front of her. And so we need not only to show respect to our wives and vice versa, but you and I, when it comes to the bridegroom, because we're his bride, we need to show respect to him. Why? Because he deserves our respect. He deserves to be adored by us. He deserves to be loved by us. Well, how can we show our respect to Jesus Christ when it comes to church? One I can think of right now is by listening to his word when his word is being spoken. It's not the preacher who's doing the talking, you know you're hearing me, but it's what God has given that preacher to give to you folks. He is speaking and he wants to be heard. And because he has delivered a message, he deserves the respect every time the word of God is open that you and I listen to his word. And because we listen to his word, we're going to apply it to our lives and we're going to go out of here being better servants for Jesus Christ. But it only comes by listening to him. I tell you what, there's nothing worse when I am trying to talk to somebody and they stop listening to me. They check out. Have anybody ever had anybody check out of a conversation with you? I had this done to me a few weeks. I'm thinking to myself, someone's talking to me. They're asking me a question. All of a sudden, boom, they're gone. I was like, man, am I that boring? What did I do? Do I spit upon them? Do I smell? I begin to think and ask those questions myself. But when the word of God is being spoken, the best that we can do is to listen and to pay attention to his word. So one is listening to the word. Number two is remove your own personal distractions. Well, that's going to hit home with a lot of folks. Well, how do we remove our own personal distractions? You know, back in the early church, when they met in homes and the elders were presented over them, do you know what they did not have that you and I have that is a distraction to us? Cell phones. There are people who text during services. There are folks who walk out of the service to answer a phone call or to send a text to somebody. And we need to remove those personal distractions that are in our lives so that you and I could pay attention to the Word of God. The other thing is going to be a little bit more personable. Three, we need to be on time. Be on time. There is a start time for the services for a reason. You know, whenever we go to a sporting event, what do? We know that the sporting event, we'll say, starts at 7 o'clock. And we know that there is going to be traffic ahead of time. So what do? We leave at 4 o'clock, maybe 4:30, so that we can get there ahead of time, so that we can beat the traffic. Why? So that we can sit in our seats for 2 full hours before everybody else comes in. You know what we're saying? You know, that sounds funny, but you know what we're saying? We're saying that sporting events are more important than the God events in our life. We'd rather be 2 hours early for a basketball game or a football game or a baseball game or a hockey game as well, instead of being 2 hours early for church. You know what we show when we walk into church late? We're showing that God's time does not really matter. We're showing we don't really respect the King that is in our life. And so we have a start time for a reason. There's no excuse. There should be no reason why we walk late into church. You know, when you walk in late, what do? You miss something. You know what makes a bride mad? Seriously, you know what makes a bride mad? When somebody walks in late and interrupts their service. Why? Because it's all about the bride right then and there. You know, it never fails. You can have a wedding every day of the week and somebody's going to walk in late. There is a start time for a reason. And we need to show respect to God. I know people who will even arrive early to go to movies so they won't miss out on the previews. But they'll walk in late to church. Chad, you're getting a little bit more personal. Folks, sometimes you have to be personal so that we can see the picture. Movies, sporting events, they're not the most important things in our life, even though we make them the most important things in our life. We show more respect to somebody in a movie theater than we do in church. If you're in a movie theater and people are talking, what do you hear? Quiet down! You don't hear that in church. People just keep on talking. I had a hard time hearing the song this morning because I heard people chatting. I really did. So we need to remove our personal distractions. We need to be on time. Why? Because we're here to adore Jesus Christ. We're here to show that we love Him. We're here to show that He is important to us. We're here to show that we respect Him. We say we respect God, but our actions and our motives show us and tell us differently. The things that go on in the house of God, write this down, the things that go on in the house of God are way more important than what Hollywood has to offer to us. Things in the house of God are way more important than what the sporting world has to offer for us. Newsflash, this world's going to vanish, everything's going to burn, and we're going to be forever in the presence of the Lord. So let me ask you a question. What are we living for? Are we living to further the kingdom of God's kingdom, or are we living here to further the kingdom of this world? The house of God is way more important than what Hollywood and the other things have to offer us. We show respect to other things more than we show respect to God. We can quote and we can recite TVs and movie shows. We can say, we can go back 10 years, hey, you remember this the show that we saw? You remember exactly what happened? Yeah, we rehearse and we laugh about it. But we can barely quote a verse from memory. We're all probably pretty fortunate enough that we remember John 3:16. When was the last time that you and I memorized Scripture and said, you know what? This is what's more important to me. When was the last time we have done those things? How can we show adoration to the bridegroom when we barely recognize the bridegroom exists? That's what our lives are showing, folks. I'm being honest with you. The early church didn't have competition with Hollywood. The early church did not have competition with sports activities. The early church did not have competition with cell phones and things of those natures to take our distraction, to take our attention away from the Word of God. They didn't have to compete with those things, but now we're in competition with those things. And unfortunately, in some churches, those things are winning. We need to get back to respecting and adoring our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we need to get back to. That is why we come to church. We come to church to worship Him. We come to church to adore Him. We come to church to show our expression towards Him and how much we appreciate Him. You know, so often we ask for testimonies in church on how great things God has done in our lives. And out of all honesty, we shouldn't be walking out of the church at 7 o'clock because God's been so good to each and every single one of us. But we can barely express our feelings. Chad, I'm not good at talking in public. You know what? Either am I. Get over it. It's not about you. It's about Him. Amen? We're here to adore Him. Well, when it comes to the beginning of the wedding, there's something that takes place, and I talked about it earlier, and that's the presentation of the bride. And that's a glorious event that takes place in the wedding. So all the preparation, it's all been set, it's all been going. We see all these things. We see the love that has been expressed throughout this. We see all the flowers, the things that come about. We see the respect that is given towards the bride as she walks down the aisle. And now we see the presentation. So as the bride walks down the aisle for the first time, the bride sees his wife-to-be, and he just stands there in awe. And you know what he sees? The exact same thing that I saw in my wife over 24 years ago, and that is perfection. I saw no flaw in my wife. I saw a perfect wedding dress. I saw a perfect smile. I saw perfect hair. The only thing that was wrong with the wedding was the groom. That's it. And I'm not joking. I saw a perfect bride. I seen her father grab her by her hand and walk her down the aisle. And he has had hesitation of sending her off with me. If you didn't know her dad, he was a rough man to get to know. He tried to scare me off, and that didn't work because I had a love for her, and that settled it for him. He knew I was going to fight for her. But I can remember him walking her down the aisle, and as he walks her down the aisle, he hands her hand over to the pastor, saying, "I give up my authority to you," and the pastor takes her hand and places that hand in the groom and puts that authority upon me. And what a beautiful picture that is. The father presents the bride to the husband. The bridegroom, when he has the bride, is going to present the bride to his heavenly father. And what a tremendous event that is going to be. He stands in amazement and he sees how beautiful his bride is. The father and the husband at that time is proud of her. I was proud of my wife that day, and there was one thought that came to my mind, and I was shocked. How does such a beautiful woman end up marrying a guy like me? I wasn't deserving of her. You know, that's the same principle when it comes to our Heavenly Father. I'm not deserving of my Heavenly Father, but He loves me and wants to be with me. Here's one thing that's going to take place. Christ soon, one day, is going to present the church to his father. It's going to be a glorious event. And he's going to present it in such a way, in verse number 27, it says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And what a great day that is going to be. So as we wrap this up tonight, and as we've gone through this, why do we come to church? What is the most important reason? And I believe it's because we come to adore Him because He adores us. Amen? And I believe that you and I should be giving God our best, whether it be through singing, as we've expressed it the last couple weeks, singing with our whole hearts, giving our all to our God, even if it's not a joyful noise to others, it's joyful to God. We're singing Him. We're not singing anybody else. We're singing Him. So we come for that very reason. We come so that you and I can learn and be taught how to pray, so that we can go into our closets privately and have that one-on-one time with Him and be able to really be intimate with Him and to express our love and to express our feeling towards Him. And not only do that privately, but then we're taught in how to pray corporately, how to pray as a family openly, and we did that tonight as well. But last of all, we come because we adore Him. I hope tonight that you have a different vision tonight why you come to church. It's because you love your Heavenly Father and you want to bring adoration to Him. You want to show Him love and you want to show Him respect because He's deserving of that. Folks, if we're not going to be willing and able to practice this now, I really feel sorry for you when it comes time to be in heaven. I really do. Because that's what it's going to be about. We're not going to be adoring and worshiping each other. We're going to be adoring Him. Matter of fact, we might not even know who's there for the longest of time because I believe our thoughts should be on Him. Because of our love for Him. I've heard people say, man, I can't wait to get to heaven because I want to see Peter. I can't wait to get to heaven because I want to see Moses and be able to talk to him. And you know, those things are true. Those are natural things that you and I want to do because we've learned about these folks for so many years. But our greatest desire, whether it be through death or even through the rapture, is when we get into His presence, is to adore Him. I can only imagine what goes through the mind of an individual when they pass from this world because they accepted Christ during His very presence and the adoration that they bring to Him. What a great day that will be. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. But I agree with Pastor. I'd rather go up than go down first. Amen? I'd rather go up than go down first. But if that's the case, then so be it. I've learned that I'm not in control. You know what? I'm going to be closer to God Wednesday than I have had in a long time. I'm going to be closer to God than you are here in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Well, how can you say that? Because I'll be 30,000 feet in the air. I'll be closer to God. And I'll be doing a lot of praying. But folks, seriously, we come because we adore Him. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. And so let's remove the excuses. Let's get those away because those don't work. We've heard them all. We've seen them all. And when it comes time for us to worship God, let's just put everything aside and give Him the time that He deserves. And don't worry about a time limit. Amen. I can recall going to churches, and I know I'm kind of rambling here right now. Chad, you got 30 minutes. I'm thinking to myself, man, are you the Holy Spirit? Because sometimes it takes longer than that. Don't worry about the time. You folks are going to be here this week, and you're going to be tired and going through the missions conference, but God will give you the strength to endure until the end. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us. Lord, I know that I have been guilty in my own life for not adoring You the way that You deserve to be adored. Lord, I know tonight that I have not respected You, I have not loved You the way that You are deserving of. And so, God, I ask You in front of everybody tonight that You forgive me. Lord, help me to love You, to adore You, to worship You, to give You my best every single day of my life. Lord, I ask it in Your name. Amen.